You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The narrator of Ann Leary's latest book, The Good House, is a real estate broker who claims that she can walk through a house once and know more about its occupants than a psychiatrist could after a year of sessions. The novel from St. Martin's Press is a comically scathing portrait of life in a quaint New England seaside town. Miss Leary is also the author of a memoir, An Innocent Abroad, and the novel, Outtakes from a Marriage. I'm very pleased to welcome Ann Leary back to our show.
Oh, well, I'm very pleased to be here.
Now, your first book was a memoir about your son's premature birth, and your first novel was widely seen as at least semi-autobiographical, since it featured a woman married to a TV star, and your husband is the actor Dennis Leary. Were you trying to move away from your own life with this novel?
I would say, I suppose so. I always wanted to write a novel set in a small New England town where I lived when I was growing up. I lived in Marblehead, Massachusetts, and we live in a small New England town now. But actually, that line you read at the beginning about how the main character, Hildy Good, is the narrator of the book, can walk through a house once and know more about its occupants than a psychiatrist could, is actually something that was said to me by a contractor years ago when I was looking at a property. We were thinking of buying. It was a wreck, and the people who lived in it had been apparently animal hoarders. And I kind of knew who these people were. They were in our community. But, you know, when I walked through with the contractor, he had never met the people. They weren't there. And when we had to keep going out to get fresh air because it was really quite in horrible shape. And I said to him, what do you think is wrong with the people that live in this place? And he said, without even pausing, they're alcoholics. And I said, how do you know? Do you know them? And he said, no, I can walk through a house once. I've been doing this for 30 years. I can walk through a house once and know more about its occupants than a psychiatrist could after a year of sessions. And that became the first line of this book, more or less, because that just really fascinated me.
And was that also the inspiration in a way? Because writers talk about the thing that gets them started. Sometimes it's a line. Sometimes it's a smell.
Right. Well, it did. I mean, I had been working on this novel that is still part of this book. It was originally going to be the story of a psychiatrist who has an affair with his patient, which was actually a real scandal that I had read about in the newspaper involving a Boston psychiatrist. But when I was writing it, I was having a hard time with, you know, who was telling the story and whose story it actually was. And so it was once I did have this experience with this contractor, I realized I would like to have it be a person who's a townie, a person who's from this place. And also
the town you invented, Wendover.
Wendover, yeah. Wendover is on the North Shore of Boston, kind of in the Essex, Ipswich area. And it's a fictitious town, but yes. So I wanted the story to be told by a true townie, which I've always kind of thought would be a wonderful thing to be, growing up, moving many times, and then arriving in a town full of townies.
Did you know from the start that she was going to be an unreliable narrator?
You know, I didn't. She was...
I mean, a shrink would automatically be an unreliable...
Exactly. Right. That would have been given. No.
Uh-oh, I'm going to get some mail.
I thought she was going to be kind of a know-it-all. I know a lot of people like Hildy Good, kind of a person who... a real New England Yankee, kind of very... doesn't suffer fools gladly and kind of tends to know everybody's business and... it turns out she has, or apparently her daughters think she has a drinking problem, and she is sent, early on in the book, she's sent off to rehab after an intervention, which makes her very unhappy. It's one of the things she struggles with in this book because she doesn't think she has a drinking problem.
Well, she does, but she obviously enjoys drinking.
She does enjoy drinking.
She talks about the joys of drinking. Most people who lean a lot on alcohol self-medicate, don't they?
Well, I think they do, yes. And but Hildy doesn't really see that she has any problems to self-medicate for. She considers herself quite successful, and she doesn't understand, you know, what her problem is with people, not with drinking. So she, you know, is sent off to rehab, and then she must sort of drink alone, which she actually quite comes to love. It solves a lot of problems for her. There's no shame involved. There's always plenty. There's always enough for Hildy at the end of the night because she's enjoying her little party of wine.
She drinks non-alcoholic beverages in public and then goes home and drinks alcohol.
Right.
A number of reviews have described this as a comic novel, but I suspect you also intended it as a serious book about alcoholism, particularly among middle-aged women.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't intend to write a comic novel, and, you know, it's not meant to be, you know, like a laugh a minute kind of thing. But, you know, Hildy has this sense of humor. It's a very – she has very kind of sarcastic kind of a sarcastic perspective on the people around her. And, you know, sometimes the situations we get into when we've been drinking a little too much can be humorous. But it's sad, too. And I think there's a sad part. There's quite a bit of sadness in Hildy's life and in the book.
Are women alcoholics different from men? Are they more likely to drink alone, try to hide their drinking as Hildy does?
Definitely. I think that first, you know, there is still more of a stigma around female alcoholism. Women tend to be mothers, and in Hildy's case, she's also a grandmother, and so it's considered not safe. And even younger women, I think, if they're drinking and quite drunk in public places, they're a little bit at risk as far as being a victim of, you know, sexual assault. And a lot of women do find the solution is to drink alone. I think a lot of women drink quite safely alone. Coming home after work and having a couple glasses of wine is quite normal. But to drink as Hildy does to, you know, drunkenness and blackout night after night might be considered by some to be a problem.
Not Hildy, of course.
Not Hildy.
Hildy tells us that one of her ancestors, Sarah Good, was tried and hanged during the Salem witch trials. Have you known people who were descendants from the women who were accused?
Yeah, if you live on the North Shore of Boston, you will know people who claim to be descendants of the witches, which I always think is interesting because, you know, there were not that many witches hanged, and there were quite, you know, hundreds of people who accused them, but I've never met one person who was a descendant of one of the accusers. But I do have met a few who claim to descend from one of the witches. But Sarah Good was a real witch, and I did kind of tell her story in the book, and it's quite tragic. She clearly had some kind of mental illness, which made her stand out. And
well, the mental illness is another theme in this book.
Right. Right.
Hildy also kind of practices her own benign form of witchcraft by pretending to read people's minds. Is that something that she's inherited from her ancestors or just a parlor trick that she's learned?
Yeah, it's kind of a parlor trick. Her aunt was a so-called psychic in Salem. And Salem, Massachusetts, which is also on the North Shore, does draw kind of occult-hungry tourists and lots of so-called psychics, or perhaps they're real psychics and mediums, set up shop there. And her aunt was one of these people. And Hildy and her cousin, you know, as children, would watch her do these readings. And they learned these tricks. And I really researched this extensively because it fascinated me, these psychics. And there was one psychic in particular who kind of debunked mind reading and taught, you know, if you go on his name is Darren Brown. He's a British television personality, but he shows how people use tricks. And actually, they're the tricks that people in the FBI use studying people's body language.
Well, isn't the ability to read people a skill that any good realtor would also
exactly
have?
And she is, that's, you know, she really actually is quite intuitive. For her business, it's very important for her to know, for her to be able to read people, certainly, and for her to be able to know, you know, what's going on in her town, who's about to get a divorce, because, you know, that way she can get the lead and try to sell real estate. The book is set in the present. And so she's struggling, not just with her drinking problem, but with the economy and the stagnant real estate market.
So on the one hand, she describes herself as successful. On the other hand, she says, my business is going down the drain.
Well, she's having to fight with the corporate Sotheby's and the Coldwell bankers. And that's another theme in the novel. You know, her small town, which all these kind of city people have moved to because it's so charming. They want all the conveniences of that are provided by Starbucks and these other places. So the charm that brought them there is slowly going away. And that's something that she struggles with. She makes her money off bringing these people to the town. And then she and others are finding it harder to remain in the town.
My guess is Ann Leary, her latest novel is called The Good House. There's another irony there. They want to buy up the old colonial houses, but you say they want large, spacious homes set back from the road.
Right.
The colonial houses were mostly small and set right on the road.
Right, right. Well, of course.
So what do people do?
Well, people in New England often will move a house to a different part of the property and or build all sorts of massive stone walls and trees that are upsetting to the neighbors. So it's funny, both actually the town where we live now in northwestern Connecticut is another small New England town with it's slightly different character. But the same thing is going on there where, you know, people want this charming house and then they want to have floodlights everywhere and, you know, all these alarms and everything. And it's a little bit takes away the charm that originally had attracted them, I think.
When the book opens, we learn that Hildy had just completed a major sale to a Boston hedge fund billionaire, Brian McAllister, and his wife, Rebecca. Rebecca becoming a major character here. Your descriptions of Rebecca's renovation of the old farmhouse might almost be described as real estate porn.
Well,
is that another hobby of yours?
It is. I have to say, I do. I love to look. If I'm stressed out, that is something I will do, is turn to real estate porn. I just kind of love to, and I know other women that do too. It just I don't want to move. We've lived in our house for a long time, for longer than I've lived anywhere. But I do like to look at, you know, maybe a ranch in Wyoming or a little house in Pennsylvania. I don't know why. Just an escape of some kind. So, so I did like to describe some of the places that were in the...
So even though this isn't semi-autobiographical as the previous one, a lot of the stuff in your life, your interest in that real estate porn aspect, the fact that Rebecca is an accomplished equestrian.
Right.
And you ride horses.
I do. Now, I'm not an accomplished equestrian. I think the great thing about writing fiction is you get to make characters better than you. And in some ways, I think the character of Hildy, in some ways, people might not understand why I would want people to think I'm, you know, that I relate to her, but I do. And in some ways, I would like to be more like Hildy, even though she's older and some kind of a little bit harsh and certainly has a drinking problem. But I love that she's quite confident and she's kind of a tough old bird, and I'd like to be like that and not always trying to be pleasing people all the time.
But not like Rebecca, who is involved in a secret affair. I don't know whether you want to be involved in a secret affair. But Hildy also, she's divorced. She has reconnected with her old high school boyfriend, Frankie, who's the local handyman.
Right.
So there might be a station in life problem there.
Right. Well, first of all, I think for me, Rebecca was a way to show, kind of the newcomer to a town, which I've often felt that I have been that person. And Hildy quite loves her because she doesn't know all the undercurrents. She doesn't know Hildy's past and she doesn't care. So that's quite attractive to Hildy. And then the Frank Getchell character that you mentioned is an old boyfriend of Hildy, another townie. And he's the local fix-it man, a kind of garbage collector, and actually owns quite a bit of property because it's been his family for generations. So he appears to be quite maybe even poor, but he's actually quite rich.
Now, the press materials for the book say that it's been optioned by Jane Rosenthal's Tribeca Productions to be developed into a major motion picture. Can you tell us more about that? Is that likely?
That's all I got. Yeah.
Will you be involved in it?
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's, you know, many books are optioned and not all are made into films at all, let alone major motion pictures. But, hopefully there will be some interest.
And who would you like to see play Hildy? Meryl Streep?
Of course. Who wouldn't? Actually, what's great about Hildy is her age. And I do think that our most talented actresses in America happen to be that age. I could name 10 right now that I think would be great.
Have you begun another book?
I have. It's another book set in New England. It's actually near where we live now. It's another part of New England, northwestern Connecticut, and it's about an old wasp family, which is quite different than the families in this book. But I'm really quite enjoying getting started on this new book.
Ann Leary is the author of the memoir An Innocent Abroad, the novel Outtakes from a Marriage. She has published fiction in many publications. Her latest book is The Good House. It is published by St. Martin's Press. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you so much for having me.